Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
Yeas, 2 Nays, 5 Not Voting.
Senate Bill 202 has passed the House. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on Senate Bill number 202 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
There's no objection. The roll call on final passage will be shown as a roll call on the effective date clause. Clerk, please read next bill on the calendar.
Senate Bill number 203 by Fahrenkamp and Bennett. An act authorizing the issuance and sale of an additional $8,500,000 in revenue bonds for international airports and providing for an effective date. The Committee on State Affairs has had Senate Bill 203 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, Chairman, concurred in by Miller, Eliason, Fuller, Gardner, and Martin. The Committee on Finance has had Senate Bill 203 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, McKinnon, Smith, Rogers, Moss, Schaefer, Haugen, Montgomery, and Meekin. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill number 203 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. Senate Bill number 203 will be engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage. Will Clerk please read the bill in third reading?
Senate Bill number 203 by Fahrenkamp and Bennett. An act authorizing the issuance and sale of an additional $8,500,000 in revenue bonds for international airports and providing for an effective date.
Representative Randolph.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like a brief explanation of the use of the funds.
Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The $8.5 million worth of revenue bonds would be used for a number of projects at the Fairbanks International Airport. $2.3 million to expand the customs area and service facilities associated with the customs area. $2 million even for a Fairbanks bondable storage building. $1.5 million for more ramp space on the west ramp. $1.2 million for a hydrant fuel system. $450,000 for equipment, aircraft tow tractor, and pneumatic airlifting bags, $385,000 for taxiway extension, $335,000 for general aviation airport apron expansion, and $235,000 for runway safety area.
Question for the House, the final passage of Senate Bill number 203. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
Yeas, 34 Nays, 6 Not Voting.
Senate Bill number 203 has passed the House. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on Senate Bill 203 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
There's no objection. The roll call on final passage will be shown as the roll call on the effective date clause, Senate Bill 203. Clerk, please read the next item. Representative Munson.
Yeah, could we have a brief?
House, please stand at ease. The House, please come back to order. Will the clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
Senate Bill number 87 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, Division of Aviation, Design and Construction, and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Finance has had Senate Bill 87 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, McKinnon, Smith, Rogers, Moss, Haugen, and Montgomery. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill number 87 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
If there's no objection, Senate Bill 87 will be engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage. Clerk, please read the bill in third reading.
Senate Bill number 87 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. an act making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, Division of Aviation Design and Construction, and providing for an effective date.
The question for the House, Representative Martin.
Just an explanation request, sir. On line 14, we have riprap armor. Would somebody explain it, please?
Speaker.
Representative Malone.
Speaker, what riprap armor normally is are big chunks of rock that are designed to prevent erosion along a riverbank, and as opposed to some other type of erosion protection like sheet piling or concrete piling.
The question for the House is final passage of Senate Bill number 87. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Representative Metcalf. The clerk, please take the final roll.
Thirty-six yeas, no nays, four not voting.
Senate Bill number 87 has passed the House. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on Senate Bill number 87 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
There's no objection. The roll call on final passage will be shown as a roll call on the effective date clause. Representative Branson.
Mr. Speaker, there will be a Republican caucus on recess.
Representative Byrne.
Mr. Speaker, I was going to ask if we could bring up reconsideration of Senate Bill 14 at this time.
There's been a recess called for.
Well, whatever your pleasure, sir.
We'll go ahead and take up the reconsideration at this time. It's Senate Bill 14.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Okay. It will take a two-thirds vote to take up the reconsideration of Senate Bill 14 today. This is the same day. So it will take a two-thirds vote to take the bill up for reconsideration at this time. Otherwise, it would have to wait till tomorrow.
Oh, I see. It's not important. We can take it up tomorrow then. I thought maybe you wanted to move the calendar along, sir.
No, go ahead and take it up now.
Mr. Speaker, is the bill before us in third reading?
If there's no objection, the reconsideration will be taken up at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, we did propose, or I had an amendment there on the clerk's desk this morning, and regrettably I wasn't here at the moment that the bill came up when it was considered earlier today. And I, as a matter of fact, I had a conference with Mr. Miles and Mr. Cotton earlier in the day, and it changed my schedule a little bit. So I was glad to see that they were here, sir. But anyhow, I think probably procedurally what I should request is a rescinding motion. That we rescind our action in failing to adopt Amendment Number 1.
Point of order.
Representative Brown.
Speaker, wouldn't you have to go back to second reading first for that purpose?
That's correct. Mr. Byrne, your motion should be to move back to second reading.
Well, I'll move then, Mr. Speaker, and ask unanimous consent that we go back to second reading for the purpose of rescinding our action and failing to adopt Amendment Number 1.
Will the House please stand at ease for a moment? We have to get the House please come back to order. Will the clerk please read the bill by title?
House House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 14, amended by the House by the Resources Committee. An act relating to agricultural development and providing for an effective date.
The motion before the body is a motion to return to second reading for purposes of rescinding our action in failing to adopt Amendment Number 2. Representative Byrne.
Yeah, well, hearing no objections, Mr. Speaker, I take it it's we're back in second reading now. Thank you very much.
There were objections earlier.
I didn't hear them.
It's pretty good, though.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I thought it was a little bit too smooth. Actually, Mr. Speaker, what I'm proposing here is something that I think most of you will like when you understand it. As Mr. Miller says, you know, to use some of his language, that, you know, at first glance it seems a little bit complex, but as you look it over, I think you'll like it. What we're doing here is, in this amendment, is that we're adding in here on this bill the language of the Homestead Initiative. Now, we did have a very substantial majority of people in the state, of the voters, who wanted the Homestead Initiative passed, and they supported it. And so I think that if the legislature did act positively on this, it would be in line with what the voters have asked us to do, what they sent us here to do. So it would be most appropriate if we voted yes on this amendment. Now the Free Conference Committee has been meeting on land and working hard on it, but has so far been unable to come up with a solution to the problem. They're hung up on a couple of small points right now, and we may not get a bill out of there. It's possible we would not get a land bill this year. And in that event, this amendment would provide us with a mechanism for getting some land out to the people, and we wouldn't have to worry about it anymore. Matter of fact, nobody would have to worry about it because we'd get lots of land out in a short time. Let me point out to you that this is would be a safeguard. Actually, it's a backup protection. It's a hammer over the division of lands. That if they don't perform, then we're going to work the problem with this amendment. Now, one of the nice things about this is that there's an effective date in here that I proposed to satisfy some of the opposition. That I presume there might be somebody out here that's opposed to it. I don't know of anybody, but I assume there might be. But I propose it on that the effective date here would be March the 1st, 1980. That would mean that the division of lands would have, you see, almost a year to get land out. And if they don't get land out in sufficient quantities, at least 500,000 acres, then this amendment would take effect automatically. The legislature would have the opportunity to change its mind or act on it between, you know, the first day of session next year and March the 1st. So I think that's a very attractive feature of the amendment. No harm can come from it, and a great deal of good can come from it when you think about it. And I, as Mr. Miller always says, you know, if you think about that a little bit, you'll see that it's a good idea. So I'd like to see all the support we can get for this amendment, and I hope that we will, you know, go back to second reading and then rescind our action in failing to adopt that amendment. Thank you.
The motion before the body is a motion to return to second reading for purposes of rescinding our action and failing to adopt Amendment Number 2. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed signify by saying nay.
No.
Cowards.
The motion has been defeated.
Roll call vote.
You have to request a roll call before the vote, not after it. Representative Randolph.
I think we can get around that somehow. I think if we move to rescind our action in failing to move back to second reading, we'd get a roll call vote, and I'd make that motion.
We just had that motion. It was defeated.
No, sir, I believe the motion was to move back to second reading. Is that not correct? And I'd like to
House
move...
House, please stand at ease.
It's a simple...
House, please come back to order.
Hey, Parker. I'm counting on you.
Representative Randolph.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move to rescind our action and failing to move back to second reading.
The Representative Randolph has moved that we rescind our action in failing to return to second reading. All those in...
Yeah, I'd like to ask for a roll call vote, please.
be a roll call vote. Members may proceed to vote. Has anybody failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
Yeas, 20 nays, 5 not voting.
The House has failed to rescind its action in returning to second reading to rescind its failure to adopt amendment number 2. If anybody ever figures out what we did, they'll be doing good. Representative Byrne.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It wasn't necessary to get a roll call for my purposes. I generally know the roll call pretty well anyhow. But I was pleased to see that there were as many in support as there were up there, and perhaps at this time next year there'll be 21 votes up there, because I really don't anticipate that the Division of Lands will do its job. We have, as I understand now, we're in third reading on the bill, and I'd like to speak to the merits of the bill itself, if I may, because I think there are problems with this type of legislation that
Representative Byrne.
Yes, Mr.
Do you want to? Do you wish to move an amendment number 3 or return?
Amendment number 3. Let's see.
Will the clerk please read amendment number 3?
Amendment number 3 by Mr. Byrne, page 1, line 15. After the word members, add this new sentence: one of the members shall be a grower of Matanuska gold.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I assure you, yeah, I assure you that wasn't my amendment.
Representative Byrne, you may continue.
Thank you, sir. I wondered where all the Snickers were out there, but I did see somebody up at the clerk's desk, and so I suspect I know where that came from. Now, I'm back on the bill again. I really have some concerns with the bill, and I'll tell you why. You know, I was a farmer at one time before I went on to college and school, and I liked farming. But up in Alaska here, we don't really have much of an agricultural program, and the reason we don't is because there isn't any land out in private ownership, and we've you know, the bill itself is honestly, I think, sort of a joke, in the sense that what we're doing is, at first glance, it looks, you know, like agriculture is a motherhood issue, and everybody gets excited about it, but nothing's happening in agriculture, and nothing has happened in agriculture for 25 years. You know, you'd think that, as I say, at first glance, it's great. It's a great concept. We've got to do something for agriculture. But this doesn't really do anything for agriculture, because it sets up another agency, another bureaucracy, that's going to study the problem, that's going to get itself involved in that Delta Bali project, which is going to be a flop. I'm predicting it again, and I can just see all sorts of problems coming from this. A lot of you think that agriculture, you know, is a big business in the state, and you think that that it's a growing industry and all that sort of thing. Well, just the contrary is true. I came here almost 25 years ago, and at that time agriculture, you know, was a reasonable business. But today it's actually smaller than it was 25 years ago. And the reason it is simply because the amount of land in private ownership is very limited, and the land that is in private ownership is so expensive that nobody can farm it. There isn't a single farmer in Alaska, really, who owns any land at all, who's not a multimillionaire. All these lands that the farmers have are valued at anywhere from, you know, $5,000 or $10,000 an acre. And if you own 100 acres of land, you're automatically a millionaire. It's just about as simple as that. And those farmlands were all located near the main roads, near the cities, and so forth, and they're high value real estate. We passed a bill here. Was it last week? Senate Bill 4, I think it was, that had the that extended credit to the farmers, and we gave them a low rate of interest, the lowest that I know of in the state. I think it's a 6% loan rate, and I don't know why we're loaning farmers money at 6% when farmers, as I say, are wealthy, they're millionaires, and they don't need any low interest credit. If you're going to, you know, we should give the little people the credit. I just see no point at all in favoring the farmers up here, because they're not really farmers in the true sense. They're all land developers. But let me read just a couple of statistics here for you, which I had researched here last week. In 1960, the dollar value of our agricultural production in this state was about $5 million. Today it's about $10 million, and so you see it hasn't even kept pace with inflation. It's way down. Then let's talk about the number of people that are employed in the business. Around 1960, there was about 1,200 people involved. Today, there's only about 1,100 people involved. So you see, it's not a very big industry. Shucks, there's that many people on some of the payrolls in Anchorage, or pretty close to it. Number three. Would be the acreage that are utilized, you know, is utilized in crop production in this state. Well, people think that, you know, there's a lot of acreage under production here. Well, there isn't. In 1960, there was only about 16,000 acres under production, and today there's about less than 20,000 acres. So we've only put 3,000 acres more of land in production in 20 years. It's kind of silly. And so there's no way in the world we're going to have any agriculture program up here until we have land that is inexpensive. Now, just talking to Senator Nankworth here the other day, and he was telling me about his dad sold their farm down in Texas here recently. I forget how many acres it was, but it was a nice chunk of land. And he said the land in the area was only worth about $300 an acre. Flat land, black land, the best soil in the whole area. And he said that that was the value of the land, was about $300 an acre. All the land you want, you can buy down there for that price. Up here, and another example would be the Mississippi River Valley, where the land there is maybe $3,000, $4,000 an acre for the very finest farmland. And you can hardly find an acre of land up here in Alaska that sells, in the worst land, that sells doesn't sell for at least that much. So our worst land is priced higher than the very finest farmland in the United States, which, you know, a crazy situation. So, you know, what we're doing here is setting up another agency to study the problem, and I tell you that the federal, state, and local governments have studied this problem to death. We don't need this program. It's going to cost us $100,000, I can see, and it's going to involve us in just another big bureaucracy. I don't think we can expect the farmers to be the prime movers to change the system. I mean, the system has made the farmers wealthy landowners, and I don't think that they're going to be the prime movers in trying to change the system. It doesn't make any sense. So what we're doing here is playing games around agriculture, and that's what we've been doing up here for years. I hope that our land use policies in the future will change, because that's what has created the problem, and that's what needs to be changed to correct the problem. Whether the Free Conference Bill on Lands is going to do that, I don't know. They're working on it. They've got a bill. It may work some land out, but I have a feeling that when we're back here next year again, we're going to be just about where we were before. There's going to be a few tracts of land out for recreational use and that type of thing, but there won't be any meaningful progress made in the year ahead of us in moving lands into private ownership for agricultural or business purposes. And I think this bill is a waste, and I'm going to vote against it, and I would urge everybody else here to do the same thing. Thank you.
Question for the House is the final passage of Senate Bill 14 on reconsideration. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
Yeas, 9 Nays, 5 Not Voting.
Senate Bill 14 has passed the House. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, lacking 27 votes, I move the effective date clause.
Question for the House is effective date clause. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
Yeas, 2 Nays, 5 Not Voting.
Effective date clause has been adopted. This time we'll recess for purpose of party caucuses.
House stand in recess to the college chair for purpose of a party caucus.
There's no objection. House is in recess. College chair for purpose of party caucuses. To order. The Chief Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 132 rules by the Rules Committee, an act relating to fisheries taxes and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 132 rules under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 132 and reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Parker, Chairman. Signing do pass, Carney. Signing no recommendation, O'Connell, Parker, Metcalf signed do not pass, exempt bottom fish, Jaroff and Branson signed do not pass. The Committee on Resources has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 132 rules under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 132 Resources and reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Osterbach, co-chairman, signing do pass, Cotton. Miles, co-chairman, signed no recommendation. Halford, Carney, Fuller, signed no recommendation. Chatterton, Osterbach, and Jaroff signed do not pass. Eliasson signed deep six. The Committee on Finance has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 132 rules under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 132 Resources and reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, signing do pass, Freeman and Montgomery. Signing no recommendation, McKinnon, Smith, Rogers, and Moss, and Schaefer. Signing do not pass, Haugen. The Committee on Rules has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 132 rules under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 132 rules and reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Cotton, Chairman, signing do pass, Miller, and Cotton. No recommendation, Brown, Parr, and Hayes and Phillips, signing do not pass, Anderson. I have 1, 2, 3 committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Rules Committee House Rules Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 132 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? There's no objection. The Rules Committee substitute will be adopted in lieu of the original bill. Are there amendments?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number one by Mr. Osterbach. Page 2, line 10. After business, change 5 to 4.
Representative Osterbach.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd ask unanimous consent to adoption of amendment number one.
Objection is noted. Representative Osterbach.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I know we always talk about everybody against taxes raised in the state of Alaska. Some of our colleagues said we should cut down taxes. And a lot of people say we're getting a free ride. We had a lot of testimony on this bill. One company, Pacific Pearl, employed 1,000 people for 12 months, and they paid a tax of $1.6 million, and I don't think that's a free ride in anybody's change. And we're looking to develop an industry in the state of Alaska what could take place when the oil is gone. We got a $5 billion export of fish in the state of Alaska, which would give jobs to about 70,000 people. And it would be something to look at when there is no more oil. We'll have just fish and timber and mining. And I think we should all consider this before we try to tax the fisheries too high and keep the foreign fleets in. If we tax them too high, we'll keep the Russian, Jap, Koreans, Mexicans, and whoever is out there fishing in the Bering Sea. The amendment I'm putting on here is for boats to fish out west and north of the Pribilof Islands, which is about 600-700 miles offshore, or about 500 miles offshore, anywhere up to that distance, and to fish the hake and pollock. You wouldn't be able to run them into a plant along the coast in Dutch Harbor. And to keep the boats in the state of Alaska where we could have to collect some of the raw fish tax, to keep it down at 4%, I think, on the different fishers, on the floaters, if we keep it at that base now, we could keep them in Alaska so they wouldn't move outside the 3-mile limit and deliver to Canada or Seattle, Washington, or some other state. So I'd ask the members to adopt the amendment.
Representative Lassen.
We have brief at ease.
House, please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order? Representative Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, for the 56th time, can we have another of these? 37?
Will the House please stand at ease? Will the House please come back to order? Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Could we revert to introduction of guests?
Under introduction of guests, Representative Malone.
Mr. Speaker, Representative O'Connell and I are fortunate to have in Gallery B this evening a guest from the Kisilov area on the Kenai Peninsula, Lottie Edelman.
Representative Munson.
Yes, in Gallery B, I'd like to introduce Piper Day, daughter of Joe Day.
Representative Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, I have an amendment to the amendment on the desk, clerk.
Will the clerk please read the amendment to amendment number one?
Amendment to amendment number one by Mr. Eliason. Page 2, line 8. After business, delete 3, add 2.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent to the amendment to the amendment.
Representative Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, Representative Osterbeck pretty well outlined my position on these taxes, and to be quite frank, I'm not in favor of any of them. However, this particular area here, which deals with 3%, is a 300% increase and affects all of your district, Mr. Speaker, and my district. It affects Mr. Miller's district, affects Mr. O'Connell's district, Mrs. Bronson's district. So I think a 300% increase on one hand and no increase whatsoever on a floating processor is not quite consistent, which has been one of the points on this fisheries bill all along, is that it is out of balance, and we, of course, would like a study to see what areas that the increases are deserved and ones which aren't. And if we're going to leave certain taxes in certain areas at one level and triple taxes in other areas, it just amplifies the problem that we're having, is that we just don't know what we're doing. So I would suggest we all vote on the two amendments.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, this bill went through four committees in the House, and I hate to say it, but it got scaled down in each one. And the Rules Committee, we came up with the language is now on line 8 and line 10, the 3% and the 5%, eliminating the escalation feature that the Resources Committee had in there. It would have gone to 3.5% on line 8 next year and 4% the following year, and the same type of acceleration on line 10 from 5 to 5.5 and then to 6. And I'm speaking against both amendments. I think that not everyone, but it seems that most of the people that, many of the people that I talked to that were concerned with this issue agreed that this probably was a reasonable compromise, and I'd suggest that we leave it as it is.
The question before the House is the amendment to amendment number 1. Would the clerk please read the amendment?
Amendment to amendment number 1 by Mr. Eliason. Page 2, line 8. After business, delete 3, add 2.
Representative Schaefer. House, please stand at ease. House, please come to order. Representative Anderson. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for Senate Bill 132 and committee substitute for Senate Bill number 118 be held over in second reading till tomorrow's calendar.
There's no objection. Senate Bill 132 and Senate Bill 118 will be held over until tomorrow's calendar. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, it is the intent to take these up as the first item of business tomorrow, and then after that there will be another supplemental calendar later in the day.
Are there any announcements before we adjourn? Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, the Free Conference Committee and committees on Senate bills and the House Committee substitutes for Senate bills 240 through 248, I believe, the health bills, will meet in room 106 of the Assembly at 9:00 tomorrow morning.
Are there any other announcements? Representative Hurlburt.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to be shown due pass on Senate Bill 12 that went out of house today.
We'll do that. Okay. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, if there are no other announcements, I move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in adjournment till 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
There's no objection. The House in adjournment till 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.